Hey, good morning.
Nice of you to call in. I love your book.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So what's a sales trainer doing on a Saturday morning?
Talking to Tom Hill.
Good answer. Good answer. So what may, okay, tell us a little, tell the audience a little bit about who you are and your experience and able to, and being able to write this great book.
Okay, happy to do it. And thank you again for putting me on the radio. It's a great opportunity. I grew up in, of all places, Coney Island in Brooklyn. My purpose in life was to become a baseball player. Decided that at an early age. Played it for a long time, but by the time I graduated college, it didn't seem like any major league team was going to offer me an opportunity, so I said, I better get a job. And I was overwhelmed by offers coming out of college, and the grand total of the offers I got coming out of college was one. So I took it, and it was a company called Itel Corporation, and that began my career in sales. So sort of the preamble about how I grew up was, if there was ever anybody who was ever not a born salesperson, it was myself.
Wow. So you're saying that that can be learned.
And I want to say in response to your question that the 29th law of all the natural laws of sales, and this is, might be as big a lore as there is that salespeople are made, not born. And if there was anybody who was the perfect example of that, it was me. Boy, oh boy, I didn't even want to be there. But I was very lucky. I had great mentors. They taught me the ropes. And the most important thing they taught me is that there were things you should always do and things you should never do. And that sounded like laws to me, so I wrote them down. And as my career evolved, I discovered and came into contact with lots of additional ones. But they put me on the right path and enabled me to have a great career.
Well, the book is easy to read, and you just mentioned the Law 29. That's on page 186. And you start out with a quote from Sheryl Sandberg. If you're offered a seat on a rocket ship, don't ask what seat, just get on.
It's a great quote, isn't it?
It is, and the book is full of them, and I like the way it's broken down. I'm like our coffee break host, Barbara Davitt. I'm reading three books at the same time.
Wow.
I've got yours on the top, The 29 Natural Laws of Sales. I'm working on a social media book. Let me just give the name of that, because we'll ask you if you believe in social media. The Savings Bank of Danbury had us to a party, and I'm reading a book called Likeable Social Media.
Wow.
And then thirdly, for my commercial real estate career, I'm going to look at my thing here. I'm reading a book on building teams. So you're right up there. And I think that it's really important to educate yourself, isn't it?
There's no doubt. There is no doubt. Now, the thing I want to say about the book, the thing that is closest to my heart about the book, is that I'm like you. I've read a lot of books. All during my career, I was reading sales books and meeting people who were telling me about classes and things they did. And in the books I read, they were very brilliant books, but they talked about ideas, suggestions, opinions, and it stood in great contrast to what I had learned from my mentors, which was, no, they would say to me, Howard, these are laws, these are the things you always do and never do. So when I decided to write this book, I wanted to write laws, not my opinions. And I can tell you a funny story about that. When I finished the book, I started rereading it, and it was over 400 pages. I said, oh, this is very good. But I began to discover that I had inserted into the book a lot of my opinions and viewpoints and ideas and suggestions. And I said, well, this is supposed to be a book about laws. I took them out, Tom.
So you were able to control your ego, Howard?
I did. And because the book had the title, The 29 Natural Laws of Sales, they were not supposed to be impeded by my opinions or anybody else's opinions, just the laws. So the net result of this is that the book is something that every reader can count on. The things that are in there are true. They're not true sometimes. For example, when I'm doing a talk in front of an audience, I talk about the natural law of gravity. It never changes. It's always operable. You can count on it. It's a natural law. If you're riding in your car and it's in the morning and you see the sun coming up, you know that's in the east. It doesn't change.
That's true.
These are laws. And so therefore, any business owner, professional, entrepreneur, salesperson can count on them. I was just merely stating what is true.
Well, and I've seen you speak to the Fairfield County Brokers Network a number of times, so I knew you knew what you were talking about. So when I heard you wrote a book, I said, oh, man, I got to get my hands in that and get Howard on the show. And tell the folks a little bit about your life as a businessman. And obviously, you've come to train us a number of times.
Yep. Well, the great thing was, so I began, as my career evolved, I became a sales manager, then I became a branch manager, and I started my own company in the computer business in 1985, and I began to hire salespeople, and they were, you know, a mixed crew, but I began to take the lessons that I had learned, this is long before I wrote the book, and I began educating them and training them. So I would educate them on the laws, and then I would work with them personally to make sure they could apply these laws and wouldn't violate any of them. As their skills in that area began to grow, so did their sales. And they went from poor to mediocre and from mediocre to successful. And as I kept building their skills, they began to become superstars.
Did you have to sweep any of them out because they wouldn't follow the laws?
I'm sorry to say yes, that's true. It was very, very much true. And no, they would say to me, I believe in this. And interestingly enough, the things that some of them believed in were scripts and canned pitches.
Oh, hate them.
And I knew from my career that this was the worst possible tactic to employ. See, sales is all about building relationships with people. You don't build relationships by being an actor on a stage spouting a script. You build relationships by communication. So the ones that had trouble with that, we had to part ways because they were not going to win the game.
Yeah, very, very well put. And the book is broken down into many chapters that are easy to read. And another great quote you picked up from someone that I followed my whole career, "You will get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want," by Zig Ziglar.
I love that guy.
Oh, did you ever see him in person?
I never did.
We did. Sandy and I went to Reston, Virginia for, I think it was a time when I was taking the CCIM final exam, and he was our speaker. Wow. Tall, handsome, gray suit, fit as could be, and he must have been in his 70s at the time, and boy, he was full of energy, and what a delight.
You know, I've heard that about Zig, and of all the people I've read, and I've read a lot of people, I find him to be the most interesting and closest to the truth, and that's why I picked his quotes. I think he might be the only guy, I think I put a couple of his quotes in the book, but he's great. I agree with you. Fantastic.
I'll give you one more. He would say, have your sneakers next to your bed, so when you wake up in the morning, the first thing, your feet go into your sneakers and you go out for a run.
I love it.
And when you were trying to become a professional baseball player, what was your professional position and where you wanted to be on the field?
Well, you know, that's a great question. Like, as when I was just starting out, I was an infielder, then I became an outfielder. And then one of my coaches, and I'm going way back when, it's sort of been, you know, after I had been playing for 10 or 12 years, he said, since you love baseball so much and you're not the fastest guy on 2 feet, why don't you try catching? I said, sure. You know, I was open to anything, so I caught batting practice. And one day he said, go ahead, put the stuff on, you know, the equipment on, and get in the game. And I can tell you, from that moment on, I felt like I was playing baseball for the first time.
Wow.
It was a joy of joys. That the fact that I could call the pitches, the fact that everyone was looking at me, the fact that nothing happened until I put down a couple of fingers and said, throw this. Trying to get pitchers. You know, one of the interesting things about my career in sales training is I learned a lot of that by trying to handle pitchers.
Wow.
You know, pitchers get into weird mental states when they're on the mound, and they need someone to come out and calm them down, get them thinking the right way, fix their mechanics. That's the job of the catcher. Well, so I loved it. It was a love affair for me.
Well, maybe your next life you can become a caddy for Tiger Woods.
I'm not the catty type.
Well,
probably can tell that.
You know? All right, just checking. So going back to the book, The 29 Natural Laws of Sales, I like to have charts and graphs to keep me lined up. And you have a success chapter near the end, and you have a chart called the four-column detective.
Yep.
Give us a little bit on that.
All right. Well, let me tell you, when I was first starting out in my career, I had great managers, and one in particular was more like a big brother than a manager. And these gentlemen would come up to you, and it was all boys at that time, they would come up to you at random times, and they would say, what are you selling the most? Who are your best prospects? Who's been referring business to you? Who did you meet that referred you to other people that could refer business? And they would do this every week at random times. So it was pretty clear that you needed to know all of those things. Now, fast forward up to the beginning of BCA management and doing consulting work. And by the way, before that, in my own business, the computer business, before I started the consulting company, that's how I trained the salespeople. I did the same thing with those people that my managers earlier had done with me, and I did a version of the four-column detective with them. So now fast forward again up to the consulting company. I started going to the people, and I'm talking about salespeople in very large companies, medium-sized companies, any place you want. And I would ask them these questions, Tom, and they didn't have answers.
Wow, folks, we're talking to Howard Berman, the author of the book. Howard, hold your breath for about 2 minutes. I'm going to take care of a couple commercials, and then when we come back, we'll finish up on this one. Then I want to talk more about Zig Ziglar. And folks, if you'd like to get some free training, 203-757-1320. Very interesting. I'm going to keep Howard on for a little while longer, so if we get a couple of calls, he'll be able to really get to show his stuff. Hang with us, Howard. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hills Gallery is back. 1023, sunny out. Nice, nice day. So get out there before we get some changing chilly afternoon temperatures. But bring your radio with you so you can hear more of How to Sell with Howard Berman. Howard, did I cut you off before you were finished with the sales detective chart?
Tom, thank you. You didn't cut me off, but I do want to just mention that four-column detective was our solution to the fact that we discovered that salespeople no longer were in close contact with the people who were referring business. They couldn't answer these questions. So someone who can fill out and do the four-column detective, and instructions are included in the book, they will then know exactly who they're selling, what they're selling to them, who's been referring business, who referred the people who were referring business, that's column four, and that will give them the kind of data they need and tee up the opportunities they will love to close new business.
Well, I'm going to start using this Monday. I like this column. Makes sense. And there's a couple of pages on how exactly simply to use it. So that's a big tip right off the bat. If there's any phone callers, I'm with Howard Berman, 203-757-1320, if you want to get on. Another quote by Zig Ziglar that I think fits this sales detective. Timid salesmen have skinny kids.
Isn't that a great quote?
Oh, man.
But, you know, people have taken that. There's a great example of good advice, but it gets twisted because people take that and they think, I need to be a talking head. I need to be overly aggressive. I need to, like, make sure that these guys buy from me. And that is the wrong way to be thinking about selling. Selling is, you know, it's gotten a bad name, but it really is relationship creation and good communication and caring a little bit more about the other guy than about yourself. That's in the foundation, which is the second chapter in the book. And I always tell people who I'm training, you need to embrace that because that will set the stage for you to be able to apply the laws.
I'm going to give you one more quote here, and then I want to ask you about our meeting yesterday.
Sure.
People have little interest in purchasing a bed. What they want is a good night's sleep.
Right.
Gregory Ciotti.
That's a great quote. Now, that is the whole story about feature and benefit. And all of us know that we hear about features all the time. 5G network, anti-lock brakes, I put that one in the book, all kinds of terminology. But the question for the buyer is, what does that have to do with me? And Greg's quote is a perfect quote, because people are not caring about all the particular technical aspects of the mattress. They just want to lay down and have a great night's sleep. That's the benefit. So I train salespeople, you must know what the benefits are, because that's what relates the product or the service to the person you're talking to.
Well, very well said. This book is action-packed, and it's really it should be used in a college sales course, or high school for that matter. So if you have kids that are thinking of sales, this will accelerate their progress immensely. I meet you every month at ffcbn.org, the Fairfield County Brokers Network, and you from time to time train us, etc. And we were hosted by the town of Newtown. Talk a little bit about this group and what impressed you yesterday and what we do every month.
Well, you know, the Fairfield County Commercial Broker Network, the chairman of it is Mr. Winthrop Baum. He's been a great friend for a long time. He does a tremendous job. And I've discovered that the people that go to that meeting, like yourself, they're really in tune with what's going on in the economy. They're trying to help people. The information that's teed up is really valuable. And I enjoy going because I meet people. Yesterday's a great example. I had a terrific conversation with the first selectman. He's invited me to talk to the Newtown Chamber of Commerce. Every time I talk to a Chamber of Commerce, I wind up with opportunities for people to read the book, for consulting engagements, and all of that occurs because I attend those meetings. So it's a great group who's really focused on success, not just for themselves, but for the companies they work with, and it's a joy to go.
Yeah, I like lunch. I like the lunch portion of it. And yesterday, with the first selectman, let's see, I wrote his name down. I think his name was Rosenthal.
Yes, I think so.
And I'll get his first name in a minute. But he told us a little bit about Newtown. 117 square miles, 34.7 mill rate. We talked a little bit about high property taxes, which are high in every town. But his answer was he felt like they give their residents and their businesses a lot for their money, which was a good answer, like you're trying to train salespeople to do. So Dan Rosenthal, that was his name.
Dan Rosenthal.
And I liked his saying, and maybe this is in your book, too. Maybe you can tell people what this means. Positive activity begets positive activity.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, you're talking about quotes, and I don't want to sound too highbrow here, but there was a part in the book where I was a natural law about hard work, and it's a very important natural law. And I wrote the chapter, but I couldn't find a quote. And I was just racking my brain, looking through everything else. I just couldn't find a quote for that chapter about hard work. And I think it was the natural law about hard work cures a multitude of sins. So I turned to Shakespeare. And, you know, I've been a fan of Shakespeare for a long time. I like watching the plays. But here was the quote, and it was from one of his plays. And I've mentioned this to people, and usually they just look at me, and they it creates quite a reaction. The quote was this: action is eloquence.
Okay, explain it to me.
Now, in that, what Shakespeare was saying there in that quote was that the ability to be in action, the ability to make something happen, the ability to get the job done, is by itself eloquent.
I like
and
it.
And when you think about salespeople, and we think about business owners and entrepreneurs, good professionals, and strong salespeople, who go out, meet people, find out what their needs and wants, deliver a solution that's exactly right, develop a relationship with the client that will yield great results going further, but the client themselves are very happy they met this particular guy or this particular gal because they did a great thing for them. That is eloquent.
Very true. Very true.
And I love it.
And what do you think about the saying, your best source of new business is old business?
There is absolutely no doubt about it. If you look in the back of the book, I wrote an article which I included in the book called The Four Diamonds of Client-Based Marketing. And here's an amazingly wonderful fact and a law that if you have a referral from a happy client that needs and wants your services and, of course, has the wherewithal to pay, those types of referrals close 80% of the time.
That's a high possibility, that's for sure.
Now, think about it. Isn't it amazing? Like, if you get five of those referrals, you're going to close four of them.
And the fifth one, if you stick with it, you still might close that a month or two later.
You might very well. And that was, by the way, one of the first laws that I was blessed to learn from my mentors, because I was cold calling all day long. You could do that in New York back then, before 9/11. And these mentors said, you're going about things the wrong way. You need to, like, develop relationships with your clients, get referrals, and that's where your deals are going to come from. Let me show you how it's done. They did. I got referrals, and I never looked back.
You know, once you fill that pipeline, it just keeps on coming. Now, we're talking to Howard Berman, my friend, and his book is The 29 Natural Laws of Sales. Last chance for calls, 203-757-1320. Because, Howard, you know, this is basically a music show, so I'm going to ask you about your music in a minute as your last question. But you had a chapter on listening, and boy, oh boy, I have to keep working on that myself.
I think we all do.
And just give us a little tidbit from that chapter.
Well, okay, so, you know, everything is based on a relationship. Great salespeople, entrepreneurs, business owners, professionals routinely develop relationships. How you develop a relationship starts with communication. And communication starts with talking to the person you're meeting with, usually about them, making it obvious that you care about them, and there's no better way to make it obvious that you care about them than by encouraging them to speak and to be an avid listener while they're talking.
And when you listen, you learn.
That's right. And by the way, that kind of genuine interest can never and should never be faked.
I agree.
You have to be genuinely interested in the people you're meeting with. And that's one thing about great, successful business development professionals. They are interested in the people they're meeting with and talking to. And if you can't generate that kind of genuine interest, you're in the wrong business.
Well, I completely agree with you.
Yep.
On that note, Howard Berman, this is a music show. What do you listen to, or what might be the last three CDs or downloads you might have purchased?
Well, my tastes in music are strong. I love it. And it's varied. I just got a live CD of Alison Krauss.
Ooh, good taste.
Union Station, fabulous.
What's the name of that one? Do you know it? I want to get that one.
It's a live recording, two CD set, Alison Krauss and Union Station. Probably one of the best Dobro players that ever lived is Jerry Douglas. He's a really front and center on there, but the band is great. Starting out, I was a big fan of The Doors. I still am. And I'd say that, everything from Bob Dylan, Clapton, Pink Floyd, I love all of that stuff.
Well, this is something I didn't know about Howard Berman, so please tell the audience how to buy the book and how to get a hold of you.
Well, okay, so the book is on Amazon. You can find it there. You can also find out about it and read excerpts on our website, which is 29thebook.com. And I can be reached at 646-786-8800.
Would you repeat the phone number slowly again?
Sure. 646-786-8800. And I would love to answer anyone's questions, and I'm excited about the opportunity to improve your sales. And by the way, I'd like to say that the principles, the laws that are in the book, will apply to relationship creation with anyone. And we've even trained people looking for jobs and going out on interviews who are having trouble, and they applied the laws in the book, and suddenly their interviews went splendidly, and they achieved their jobs.
Well, I'm a top producer in commercial real estate, and folks, I'm working my way through the book, so I recommend it highly. And Howard, just for you, here's a tune by Warren Hill. It's a jazz version of Light My Fire by The Doors. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.